the census supervisor dropped by, and he said, "Would you just make this announcement to me that in this area we're looking for people to take the census, and it's a job that pays like $18 to $20 an hour. So if anybody's looking to walk around, knock on doors, and it's right in this area, you know. So the information's up here. If anybody's interested, you can grab a phone number and call them up. But glory to God, amen. Is God good? Come on, He's worthy to be praised. I said He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. If you'll turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 14, Isaiah 14, I want to talk to you this morning and ask you a question. Have you fallen? Come on. Have you fallen? And we're gonna talk about this. And really, if a Christian has fallen, it's just because they deceived. They're just deceived. Why? Because God has provided everything that you need to stay up.
Yes, He has.
Right? I mean, you've got more power working in you than a nuclear power plant. Come on, it's working in you. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But look at this in Ezekiel. Isaiah 14. Thank you. Don't get too excited. Verse 12, and let's just read it. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the far sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms? This is a really interesting passage, and it talks about Lucifer here. We call him Satan and all kinds of other things, but right? But when Lucifer was in heaven, and he still is a majestic creature, from the standpoint that he was fearfully and wonderfully made. There's a description of him that talks about how that his whole body is like a musical instrument. So his pipes, and I mean, you know, just an incredible. So the conjecture is that he was in charge of worship before God in heaven. He was heaven's worship leader. How many think worship in heaven is going to be pretty good? If you don't like worship here, you're not going to like heaven. But anyway, it's not going to be all the time, but it's going to be a lot of the time. And it can be at any time. In fact, the description in Revelation and stuff is they're all doing their thing and somebody starts singing, everybody goes... I like that. But it's interesting. He says, how far have you fallen? From where you were, look at the position that you're in. And even now you have some people deceived, right?
Yeah.
But the reality is that you're nothing. Whenever we try to exalt ourselves against God, and we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning, you know, I would never do that, right? You would never do that, right? But we're going to see today where that's a possibility. We wouldn't do it on purpose, but the enemy comes in subtle ways to try to get us to that place. So go back to Genesis chapter 3, and let's look at the first sign, first place. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, Mary.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. I miss Mary when she's not here.
Amen.
Then I have to pick on somebody else.
Right?
Yeah. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord made. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" This is Lucifer. This is the one who said, "I am going to ascend above, you know, God's throne. I'm going to put myself in God's position," and he failed. And when he failed, he was cast out of heaven. He was cast out of heaven. And there's some conjecture about where he went and what happened, but he's here on the earth, and we're going to see in a minute that he's called the God of this world, right? And we're going to see in a minute how he got that way, right? But look at, he is one that says, listen, and maybe you know some people like this, if I'm going to suffer, you're going to suffer, right? And if I got some bad things coming up, I'm taking you with me, right? And so here was man that was created in God's image and was created to worship God and just be before God and talk with God all day long. And Satan said, "I'm jealous. They're doing what I'm created to do." See, you want to make Satan mad? Do what we just did.
Right?
Just begin to worship him and worship him, not from the position of your earthly place, but worship him from the place where you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Woo, glory to God. The devil hates that because we've been redeemed. We've been bought back. So good. So good. And the woman said to the serpent, verse 2, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die. For God knows, in that day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were opened. See, they could only see themselves as God saw them until they went against what God said. Now today, because we've been born again out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we can only see ourselves as God sees us when we take his word and apply it to us. Right? I'm redeemed. I'm not lost. I'm redeemed. But watch this. Anytime we come across scripture and we choose to not make it our way of life, we're right back here. And watch this. The minute that you decide that, you've fallen. Here's the problem with it. Oftentimes, we don't get an immediate consequence to our action. What do I mean? God didn't strike me down when I did what he didn't want me to do, you know? So I must be okay. Not so much. Not so much. In fact, in Proverbs, I was reading it this week, and it said something like this. It said that sin is a seed that will produce a harvest. So anytime you go against what God says, you're producing a harvest. Now, it may not crop up right away. You know, the first time you lie, no big deal. Right? I mean, but if you continue to go down that road, what you're saying is, listen, this is very crucial. You're saying, I'm above God. My way of thinking is above his way of thinking. How do we know what God is thinking? It's written in the Word, isn't it? It's written in the Word. Now watch this. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. And this is something that's not taught about or taught on a lot, especially today, if we want to build a church where everybody feels happy all the time. Right? Yeah. Just feel happy. All the time, you know, let's just build us up to be something that, you know, God give to whatever. and I want you to be happy, but more than that, I want you to be in His will. Because in His will, you'll have joy, and the joy can be sustained. But happiness, it's fleeting. It just blows all over the place. So in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord. And what is the fear of the Lord? Well, fear means terror. It means awesome or a terrifying thing. It means respect, reverence, and piety. And the Bible says that it's an awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. So look at this. For us, it's like when we determine who God is, He's all-powerful, He's all-knowing, He's all-loving, but He's also a just God. And I'm not saying this to get you to the place where you're afraid to do anything, but I am trying to get us to the place where our fear of God is built into our hearts, not only from a place of reverence, but listen, if God said it, I am not going to violate it. Let me say that again over here. If God, nobody specific, but if God said it, I'm not going to violate it. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about the fear of the Lord. I reverence God so much. I remember as a kid, and I think, well, I don't know about everybody, but for me, the one person on the world that I didn't want to disappoint was my dad. I wanted my dad to be proud of me. Right? There was a time when I did something I shouldn't have done, and I thought I got away with it. You know, I walked up to town where you know, you weren't supposed to walk alone, but a friend of mine said, come on, I got some money, let's go get a milkshake. Sounded like a good idea. So I'm walking back, thought I got away with it, right? My dad was overworked, helping the neighbor work. He said, hey, Bruce, yeah, come over here. Where have you been? right. And I could feel that. And my motivation for wanting to please Him has guarded my life since then. Right? Because I wanted to honor my Father. See, when we get to the place where we really love God and we really fear God, then our lifestyle becomes one of, I only want to do the things that please Him. Because I reverence Him. Because I honor Him. Jesus said it this way, I only do the things that please Him. I only want to do the things that please Him. And so when we talk about the fear of the Lord, that's where we need to get to. It's like, Lord, I want to live my life in a way that pleases You. God bless you. But look at this. Watch this. But when we get to the place, and we've got to recognize it, where we go, okay, God, You said that, but that doesn't really apply to me. Who do you think's talking to you? It doesn't take a spirit of discernment. Right? You can go, wait a minute. It's that serpent in the garden thing again. It's that serpent going, has God said? That doesn't apply to you. After all, you're of the New Testament, not the Old Testament. Right? It's all right for you to do a few things. I mean, after all, God's mercy is over you. You know, I didn't try to please my dad by trying to get away with something. I'm not telling you I was perfect by any means, right? And I tested him more than once. I have red hair. But the fear of the Lord, right, is the beginning of knowledge. In other words, if you want to know the truth, then you have to be at the place where God is right. Let me say that. If you want to know the truth, you have to be at the place where God is right, whether I understand it, whether it makes sense to me, whether it makes me feel good. Come on. The fear of the Lord. See, I don't want to be like Lucifer, who deceives himself and thinks he's all of that, but then wakes up on the outside looking in. And I'm not talking necessarily about heaven and hell right here, but I want to be in the favor of God and not on the outside of the favor of God. Right? And we know that if we're operating in a behavior, and this is what I want to get ingrained into us today, I got to get outside of the deception that says I can act any way I want and still be pleasing to God. It's not true. So the fear of the Lord, the fear of and the reverence of Him and doing what He wants is the primary motivation of our lives. If it's not, we've fallen. We've fallen. So again, the fear of the Lord, and the Lord is Jehovah. He's supreme. Come on, He's the God who put everything in place. Amen? And I want to be with Him. Now go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. I don't know if you ever had your dad or your mom say this to you, but I can remember a few times where, you know, in a situation where you know, I made one of those stupid statements as a kid. Well, Johnny's mom lets him do it, you know. And I was promptly reminded that Johnny's mom was not my mom. And there are other times where you know, I misbehaved or whatever, and my dad would say, you know, Bruce, Dugans don't act like that. Dugans don't act like that. And there's many things in the Word where God is saying, Bruce, my children don't act like that. And what do I do with that? I either bow my knee to that, or I say, has God said? Right? And why is that so important? Because you're going to eat the fruit of that decision either way. Right? If you follow after God, you're going to eat the fruit of that. But if you don't, you're going to eat the fruit that you don't want. And it may not come today. It may not come tomorrow. But down the line, it's going to cause the wrong thing to come into place. So Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, if you then were raised with Christ, how many does this apply to? Anybody in here? Anybody who's born again, anybody that's given their life to Jesus, and the first two chapters of Colossians explains your position in Christ, as well as Ephesians and other place. It says, if then, in other words, if all of this has happened, then there's something that comes after this that should automatically be, if you think about it, it should be just a no-brainer. If then you were raised with Christ, Colossians chapter 1, 3, verse 1. Seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of earth. And it's really interesting because it almost like it says the same thing, but it's not. It's like, Lord, I've got to spend part of my day seeking you. And if I'm seeking God, look at this, in everything, then all of my decisions are filtered through that. Right? Now watch this. And in verse 2 it says, set your mind on the things above. That word mind there is better put, set your attitude. Mind, but your emotions. Set everything that's on the inside of you that makes up, you know, your soul, set that on the things of God, on the things that are above. So in other words, if my attitude doesn't line up with His attitude, my attitude has to change because I'm risen with Him in Christ Jesus. But it's not just a position thing, it's a power thing. Because I have the ability to line up with His Word because His life lives on the inside of me. Right? It's like, I can't do that. You know, after all, man, look at how far I've come. I don't care how far you've come. Where are you headed? Right? I mean, I love God. I know most of you, right? And I knew you before. And I praise God for what He's done in you and what He's doing in you. You know, testimonies. But do we stop there? Or do we position ourselves to live in the fear of the Lord? Because if we don't, we think we're all right when we've fallen. See? And how do you fix that? Ooh, I recognize that. Sorry, Lord. And then you put yourself in a position to do something different. Now, let's just go on for definition purpose here. Verse 3 says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That is so huge. That is so huge. From the positive side, this is so cool. When God looks at me, He looks at through the prism that is stained by the blood of Jesus, and He sees me as complete. He sees me as holy because He sees me in the finished work of Christ. Isn't that awesome? It's not by what I do and I don't do that He sees me complete. But watch this. I still have to judge my thoughts, my attitudes, and my mindset based on what He's done and what He's said. Come on. Here's the good news. When you do that, peace comes. Joy comes. I'm not saying that it won't cost you something. The apostles did this. The apostles lived in this. And all of the apostles were martyred except John. Did you know that? All of them. And some of them were just gruesome. One of them, watch this. And I think it was Andrew, but I'm not sure. One of them was whipped by the Greek guards and then led and crucified. But while he was on his way from the whipping to the cross, I thank my God that I'm able to suffer this for His namesake. And then it says, for 2 days, he preached to the Greek guards. I thought he went to the cross. Well, you know, on the cross, you can be on the cross for more than one day in those days, right? And it's a constant struggle to breathe, and you're lifting yourself up. But he endured that for 2 days, but the whole 2 days While he was up there, he was preaching down there. So I'm not saying that just because you follow what God wants you to do, that life is just going to be easy. You're never going to have another trouble in your life. And, you know, come on. But it's the right thing to do. Pleasing God is the right thing to do. The apostles said this when they were confronted. You know, the religious leader said, listen, don't preach in his name. If you preach in his name, you know, that's not going to be good. I love it. Don't preach in his name. And they said, listen, is it better for us to obey you or to obey God? What were they saying? We're not fallen. We're not fallen. We're going to follow. We're not fallen. We're going to follow. Is that our hearts today? Come on, is that our hearts today? The enemy will try to get you. Well, you can fall and follow at the same time. Isn't that what he said to Eve? You can fall, go against what God says, and follow at the same time. And didn't work out so good. Right? Verse 4 says, for when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. I want to do everything I can before I go to be with him, but come, Lord Jesus. If he came today, I wouldn't be disappointed. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Now, this is not suggestion. This is not, well, you know, I'm going to take this with mercy involved. This is God's word. So he says in the next verse, watch this. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. What's that saying? That's saying, tell your flesh to die. And your flesh, really, if you boil it right down, what's your flesh? It's I will instead of his will. Let me say that again. Just like Lucifer back in the garden, before the garden, before he said, I will ascend above the Most High, right? And Eve, got Eve to go, well, I will eat of that. God told me not to, but I want my will more than his will. So whenever we're in the situation where we go, I will, then we haven't mortified or put to death our flesh. Especially where the I will contradicts what God says. Well, let's just look at a couple of things. Come on, you still with me?
Yes.
Put to death your members on the earth. Fornication. And that's simply sex outside of marriage. Uncleanliness. Passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. It doesn't matter what society says. What has God said? What are we going to do? We're going to follow him. We're going to follow him. Yeah, but you don't understand. You know, after all, if God really knew my situation, he'd make an exception. Wrong. Wrong. If I really fear the Lord, I don't want an exception. If I really fear the Lord, and that's the beginning of knowledge, that's the beginning of wisdom, and that's the beginning of every good thing, then I don't want it. And so where these things come up, come to a prayer meeting, we'll lay hands on you, and they'll magically go away. No, we have to, you and I have to put them to death. That means kill them. Have you ever had to tell your flesh to shut up?
Yeah.
If you haven't, get on it. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you once walked when you lived in them, but now you yourselves are to put off all these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. So, anybody ever been tempted with any of these things, or you got them all covered? Right? I'm never blaspheming, never lying, never anger, never wrath, never jealousy, never any of those things. You know, bitterness, that's so far in the past. I see.
Happy.
Yeah, happy. So the point is, when we come across these things, we have a decision to make. Am I going to fall or am I going to follow? And so here's what I'm saying. Get out of the gray area and get back into the black and white with yourself. And especially with yourself. Look, don't apply this to everybody else. Right? That's called judgment, judgmentalism. And it's all right for the church to judge, by the way, but that's a whole different sermon. But for myself, Lord, I want to hold myself up to your standard because I'm risen with you. I got to hurry. Happy. Come on. Happy. Because I'm happy. Look at verse 10. And you put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge. What knowledge? That knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. Right? That knowledge that begins with respect and honor and disciplining yourself to God's word. That knowledge. And that's the new man. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. Old things passed away. Behold all things. And have put on the new man who's renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Watch this. This would happen. And then I'll start to close. Watch this. Adam and Eve were in the garden, and they walked with God because it said they were created like him. And so they had fellowship because like was created to fellowship with like. It says that he came down in the cool of the day and talked with them on an ongoing basis. But when Satan came and they chose not to fear God, but to fall instead of follow, right? That was broken. And at that point, because God had given them authority over the earth, Satan became the god of this world. But when we became born again and Jesus paid the price for our sins, took the keys of death and hell, then we've been put in a position, because we're in Christ, to stand above those things and stand for a different standard. Come on. Because it says again, and put on the new man is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created. We were created in the image of God. Satan came and changed the picture. So before we got saved, we were in the picture that was tainted because of Satan's fall and because of Adam and Eve's fall. But when Jesus came and died for our sins, the picture changed. And the image now is not the image of who I was, but the image of who he made me to be. And so now it's been restored so that I can walk in the image of God. And it's the Word of God that we come to that helps us to renew ourselves to that image. Go to Romans chapter 6, and this will be the last scripture. So what do you do with this today? You know, I'm sure you've had this happen to you, because I've had it happen to me, where I've been in a service, and man, it was so powerful. And you go home and say, oh, how was it today? Man, it was good. What did the preacher preach about? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, but it was good. Happy. There you go. And the point of that is that I don't care if you get everything, but whatever's God's dealing with you on, meditate on that. change your heart toward that. Right? And if you don't get everything, you can go online and get the tape, you know, and listen to it over and over. Hallelujah. Look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For that death he died, and he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also. Jesus did that. Jesus produced that, and likewise, you also. What does it mean? When you became born again, you came under the umbrella of just like Jesus. Jesus produced that for you. Now watch. This is so important. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. What's this saying? To me, this is saying, don't focus as much on the sin. Recognize it when it's there. But your answer for the sin is not to recognize the sin. It's to put that to death, but to recognize that God is inside of me, giving the power to deal with it. So your unforgiveness is really an illusion because you have the power over it. Your bitterness might be hanging on, but it's just because you haven't seen yourself in the completeness of Christ. But when you begin to see that, you begin to walk in that, that's a position that you can put to death. The other thing, because his life is more powerful than the death. And Jesus already died for our sins. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves as dead to sin indeed, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. What does that mean? It means don't be stupid. Right? That's what it means. Be happy, right? Don't be stupid. Be happy. Because Jesus is alive. Jesus paid the price for your sin, but he didn't just pay the price for your sin. He paid the price so that God's life could be on the inside of you. Therefore, you don't have to fall. You can follow. Come on. His power inside of me is working it out. Lord God, I'm looking to you and I thank you, God, that I'm in a position to follow. And my strength to follow is not my strength, but it's your strength working on the inside of me. So instead of focusing on the sin, I'm going to focus on the one who's not only forgiven the sin, but given me power over the sin. I'll tell you a story. This wasn't my story, but I heard this in a sermon. The guy had a guy come up to him, and he was using these verses, but he said to him, well, Pastor, I smoke. Now, anybody who smokes, I'm not putting any condemnation on you. And he said, I want to quit, but I can't quit. And he said, yes, you can. No, I can't, man. I've tried this, I've tried that. I just can't. Yes, you can. And then the pastor said, don't worry about your smoking. Don't worry about the sin. It was sin to him because he considered it sin. He said, quote this, the power of the life of Jesus has given me power or authority over the power of sin and death. Say that every time. Say that. You get a cigarette, take that thing out, light it up, but say the scripture over yourself while you're doing it. Don't worry about it. Keep doing it. But just say this over and over and over and over again. He said, the guy said, about 3 days later, he's going around. He pulled one out and put it in his mouth. Wait a minute. And never took up another one. Didn't have withdrawals. Didn't have, you know, the cravings. Didn't have it. Why? Because he allowed the power that's in Christ Jesus to set him free. Come on. Hallelujah. Look at verse 18. I was going to read all of verse 18. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves to righteousness. So when you're looking at these things, you have to look at, I'm not the fallen, I'm the follower. Right? And anything that you think you're a slave to is a lie. Because God has already set you free from it. You've just got to recognize it and begin to develop an attitude that this is who I am. I'm not who I was. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm not the fallen. Did you get something this morning? Amen.
Yes.
Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you never, ever, ever, ever bring your word to bring condemnation. You always bring your word for conviction so that the Holy Spirit can lead us into the place of freedom instead of the place of just repeating the cycle over and over and over and over and over again. So this morning, Lord, we want to yield to you everything. We yield our minds to you. We yield our bodies to you. We yield our mouths to you.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, and we reckon ourselves as dead to our past, dead to our flesh, and we consider ourselves alive in you. Most of us in this room at one time or another have said, Lord, I want to know you more. But you've plainly stated in your word that the doorway in to getting to know you more is to respect you more, to honor you more, and to place you in the position of authority in our lives. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. Lord, we yield to you right now. In Jesus' name. Now just close your eyes for a minute and bow your head. And this is really, you know, you're sitting next to somebody, but right now just picture yourself before the throne of God. And if you can't figure out a reason why you should be there, it means you're either not one of his children, or you don't recognize who you are in him. What do I mean? I mean that sin can't be in the presence of God. If you're still in your sin, it's going to keep you from his presence. Jesus took our sin on the cross. Heaven and hell are real. Heaven, and the easiest way that I can describe it is heaven is eternity with God. Hell is eternity without him. If you're here this morning and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never prayed a prayer to ask him and settle in your heart that I'm going to live for God, then this morning is your time. So if you're here, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, would you just slip your hand up so I can see it? Because I want to pray with you. And your life, your eternity will be changed today. Today. I see that hand. Yes. I see that hand. Anybody else? All right. Maybe you're here and you've made Jesus the Lord of your life. But while I've been speaking this morning, the Holy Spirit's been working on you. I say, Lord, I see it. I've been living for me and not for you. I've been living the life of the fallen instead of the follower. But I need your help with that. I need to change that. I want to make a commitment to switch that around this morning. If that's you, would you raise your hand? So I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Come on, I see that hand. Yeah, yeah, all over the room. Amen, 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 amen. We're going to pray a prayer in just a moment. I'm going to lead everybody in a prayer. But here's the thing about a prayer. There's twofold application. You have to say it with your mouth, but you have to mean business with it in your heart. The Bible says that if you say with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. What does that mean? That means you'd be right with God. Your sins would no longer be accounted to you, and your home would be in heaven. We're going to pray that together, and then we're going to pray a prayer of dedication. But let's not just pray the prayer. Spend some time with you and God today and your Bible. And say, Lord, I mean business with this. Whatever this costs me, I'm no longer going to be the fallen, but I'm going to now be the follower. His Spirit is kind of hovering over the room right now, and he's dealing with our hearts. So let's just let him. Amen? Just everybody say this with me. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, that you love me enough to send Jesus to die in my place. I believe that when he was put on the cross and he died for my sins. I believe in my heart, so I'm saying with my mouth that Jesus is my Lord, and that God, you raised him from the dead. And because he was raised from the dead, I am now raised with him. I'm now a child of God. And the Spirit of God lives on the inside of me. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead me where holy goes. I ask you to lead me in the paths of righteousness. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me and empowering me to do what's right in your sight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer, or you want more prayer, come on up. We'll lay hands on you, agree with you.